Let's open our Bibles today to the third chapter of the book of Colossians. Today we're talking about peace. And you know, peace is an interesting thing because people will go to great lengths to find peace. If you look in the scripture, Adam and Eve were seeking peace when they took of that forbidden fruit that God told them to stay away from. In the Old Testament book of Joshua, Achan stole money from God because he thought that if he had more money that he would have more peace in his life. And Jonah ran from God. Jonah said, man, if I could just get away from where I am today, then I could feel that sense of peace. But peace is interesting because we will do so many things to achieve it, and yet very few people find it. Very few people find the peace that there's so much looking for. And you know, when we look throughout the scripture, peace is one of the biggest themes in the Bible. In fact, whenever we read about Jesus Christ in the Gospels, Jesus is bringing peace. Jesus' name, one of his names, is the Prince of Peace. Yeah, the Prince of Peace. And if you read in the Gospels also, Jesus is the instigator of peace. Jesus is bringing peace to people that are hurting. He's healing people that are sick. He's bringing peace. He's teaching people. He's inspiring people. His presence is just synonymous with peace. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels is where Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat when there's a massive storm there on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples are freaking out and they're worried. And the waves are coming over the side of the boat, and the wind is blowing, and the disciples don't know what to do. And what is Jesus doing? He's asleep. He's curled up with a pillow. He's snoring, you know? And the disciples are like, what's wrong with you, Jesus? And Jesus is like, oh, peace be still to the storm, he says. And everything goes placid and calm. Jesus is the instigator. Jesus is the Prince of, Jesus is the source of all peace. And see, peace is not found in a relationship with somebody else. Peace is not found in our paycheck. Peace is not found in a vacation. Peace is not found in a social justice movement. Peace is found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. God wants us to have that connectivity with him. And that's why this morning I want us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 3. And I hope you'll take the notes out of your worship folder as well, and you can follow along with where we're going. There's a great brain scientist named Dr. Carolyn Leaf that I love to read. She's a Christian and a brain scientist. And she says something so interesting about peace. She says peace comes from what you believe. She said the reason so many people don't have any peace in their life is because they believe all the wrong things. They think about the wrong things. And she said, when you are peaceful, your brain actually goes into a higher mode and your body functions better. In other words, when your thought life is right, the systems of the body physiologically operate at a higher capacity when you have peace. When you don't have peace, when you are anxious, when you are stressed, when you are worried, when you are upset, when you're disoriented, it causes a constriction of all the systems of the body. So you will feel better physically if you will think better. And you know, God's been saying that for a long time. God's been challenging us in our thoughts and in our minds. So when there's chaos in the brain, there's chaos in the body. And a lot of people today are living in the crazy zone because we have all the wrong thoughts. So what do we need to do to find peace and to find this peace with God? Because peace is an inner settledness in our own spirit. See, a lot of times we think peace is it comes when I get my circumstances in order. You know, if I could just get a new boss, I would have peace. If I could just find a new spouse, I would have peace. If this one circumstance of my life would just change, I would feel so much better about life. And yet, peace is something that God wants to do right in here. It starts right here in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, and not in all this stuff. In fact, when you get your heart and your mind right, then it's amazing how things begin to fall into order in the other areas of life. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4. My brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. God says, put your mind on this. And then look at this. Verse 9, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. God says, if your mind will be on the things that are excellent and praiseworthy, and the things that are good, and the things that are pure, and the things that are righteous, if you will think on these things, then the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. So what have you been thinking about this week? Do you have anxiety and fear? Are you upset? Frustrated? Where's your mind been? Where's your mind been? Let the God of all peace be with you. God says there's something you have to do. Put your mind on these things. And then there's something that I will do. Isn't that beautiful how that works together? So the peace of the world is based on what's going on around me. But the peace of God is based on what's going on inside of me. What's going on inside of me? Think about these things. So how do we establish new patterns of peace in our lives? The Bible says, first of all, we got to make peace with God. This is the most fundamental, the most foundational step in our spiritual life. We've got to make peace with God. I want to ask you a question. Have you made your peace with God? It's the most important decision that a person will ever make. It's to make peace with God. Have you made peace with God? Look at the scripture there. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. We've seen in the news all of the inauguration that's been going on, and one of the highlights of the news that's been on television and in print media and online and whatever else, has been the peaceful transfer of power. Because, there's a lot of countries around the world when another party takes over, people are like fighting and killing each other and blowing things up. And there's places like Cuba and Russia where there's no transfer of power. It's like once you become the dictator, you just stay there. And so everybody's been talking about the peaceful transfer of power. How we transition from one administration to another thing, which is a very special thing that we have here in America. But did you know that spiritually that God wants us to have a peaceful transfer of power? And power is transferred when we allow Jesus Christ to be the center of our lives instead of ourselves. So we say, God, I choose to willingly allow you to sit on the throne of my life. And I'm going to let you make the call, God. I'm going to put you at the center instead of myself. And I'm going to do so with a peaceful transfer of power. How do we do that? Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word peace means simply to be in agreement with, or to have a pact or a bond or a treaty, or, a peaceful attitude. Have you made that peace with God? Have you done that? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins? That's where the peace pact begins. It's that moment we just admit, God, I've made some mistakes in my life. I've done some things I shouldn't have done. I've said some things I shouldn't have said. God, would you forgive me? And I want to ask Christ to come into my life. And when that happens, the Bible says we are justified. Justified simply means to be made right with. So the moment that we ask Christ to come into our lives is the moment that we are justified with God. We're in right standing. We have the peaceful transfer of power, and we put Christ as the center of our lives. We just got to ask God for his forgiveness. And the Bible says he removes our sins. The Bible says that it's like as far as the east is from the west. So our sins have been separated from us. Or it's like our sins have been thrown into the depths of the sea, never to be seen again. We've been made right with God. We've also seen this week a lot of talk about presidential pardons. You know, President Obama pardoned a bunch of people before he left office. And all presidents have the authority of presidential pardon. And you know what's so interesting about presidential pardon is that somebody can be convicted as guilty and still be pardoned. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that's what happens to us spiritually? We've been convicted. We've done things our own way. We have sinned. And yet God has enacted a presidential pardon, if you will. And God has allowed us to walk in freedom. Is that not amazing? Why would anybody not want to make peace with God? It's the most important step of all. When you make peace with God, God's peace will begin to enter into your life. To your life. So Colossians says this, man, let the peace of Christ rule in your life. A lot of people today are building their life around false peace. A lot of false peace. If I have more possessions, false peace. There's a lot of people that are wealthy today that are miserable, that don't have any peace in their life. How many times are we looking at things? False peace. If I just had a relationship, if I just had a better job, if I just had a whatever. False peace, false peace, false peace. What we need is real, bona fide, genuine peace. And peace comes from God. Peace comes from God. Sometimes these circumstances can threaten our peace. But man, we can have peace even when the storm is raging around us. And then the apostle goes on and he challenges us not to just make peace with God. But he says that we ought to make the peace with God rule in our lives. Make peace with God rule. Make peace with God rule. Make the peace of God rule. Look at it again. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That word rule in the language of the New Testament is a word that means like to umpire or to referee. Have you ever watched a baseball game? The official that leads the officiating of the entire game is the home plate umpire. And what does the home plate umpire do? He calls balls and strikes, doesn't he? How weird would it be if there were two umpires standing behind the plate? Can you imagine what that would be like if there was a questionable call and one umpire said, that's a strike, and the other one called it as a ball? There would be like a huge conflict going on, right? There's one umpire. There's one authority. There's one person that makes the call. You can disagree with him, but he has the call. A referee. I love to coach my little kids' basketball team, and I've been telling you guys a little bit. By the way, we won big time yesterday. We destroyed the other team. It was pretty cool. I just need to tell you guys that. It was cool. Sometimes I disagree with the referees, right? Sometimes I let them know about that. But they have the authority. They get to make the call. I'm not the referee, you know. When I was growing up and I was playing basketball, I was always getting offensive fouls, you know, because I like to elbow the guys when I'm dribbling, you know. And some guys on my team told me after practice, we're not guarding you anymore because your elbows are like daggers, you know. And we're tired of being elbowed. So the elbow can be a great thing, but the refs were always calling me for an offensive foul for using these things. These are like weapons, bony elbows. Amen. It's good. It's real good. Man, the peace of Christ rules in our heart. He's the umpire. He's the referee. And when peace rules in our lives, we're like, you know what, man? I don't want to go there. I don't want to step out of bounds because if I do, I'm going to lose my peace. I don't want to commit that foul because if I do, I'm going to lose my peace. I don't want to say that. I don't want to do that because if I do, I'm going to lose my peace. And peace comes when we have that clean conscience with God. You know, we know that we're walking according to His will. We're doing what God has instructed us to do. And at night when we lay our head on our pillow, we have peace with God. We have peace. We can feel good about what's going on in our own life when we make those choices that reflect God being the umpire of our life. God being the referee of our life. And listen, God never misses a call. He never misses a call. So our confidence and our trust is in Him. James chapter 1 says it this way, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And when we try to have two umpires in our life, then we are unstable in all our ways because we kind of want God to lead and we kind of want self to lead. And Jesus said you can't have two masters. You can only have one. And the master is God. And the peace of God. The peace of God. Well, the peace of God's an awesome thing. It's an amazing thing. So how do we find the peace of God in our lives and in our circumstances? I got a couple questions for you today. You can write these down. They're not on your notes, but here's a great question to ask yourself. Is the peace of Christ ruling in my life? Number one, does it fit with the rules? Does it fit with the rules? And the rules is the Word of God. That's the Bible. The Bible. The Bible is God's playbook. The Bible is God's instruction manual. It's the rules, if you will. So if you want to find peace in your life, find what the Word says and do what the Word says. Do what the rules say. Follow God's rules and it will bring peace into your life. A lot of people don't have peace in their life because they have been violating the rules. And people wonder, man, why am I so uneasy, man? Why do I feel so bad about what's going on in my life? You've been breaking the rules. You can't have peace if you do that. So what does the rule book say? Am I making this choice? Secondly, just because it's easy, because it's the right thing to do. It's another great question. Am I making this choice just because it's easy? Number three, have I prayed about it? I mean, you want to find the peace of God, get in prayer. Philippians 4 tells us that. You want to be a person that finds peace, pray. Pray, ask God, do what God says. And then after praying, do I sense God's leadership? Do I have peace? There's some choices in life that they're just not in the Bible. You know, the Bible doesn't tell you what house to buy. And the Bible doesn't tell you where to put your kids in school. And the Bible doesn't tell you if you should change jobs. And the Bible doesn't tell us explicitly a lot of things. So how do we make those choices? We pray for God to give us peace accordingly. We pray and we say, God, lead me, direct me. And when we're on to it, man, there's a peace. There's a peace that comes into our life. Have you ever felt that before? Anybody here ever been there before? Maybe you were hurting. Maybe you were struggling. Maybe you were anxious. But there was a peace that passes all understanding, Paul says. And you've been there. You've experienced that, man. The peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes we need to let peace dictate those choices. We need to pray for a peace. If you're uneasy about a choice, why is that the case? Pray for God to give you peace. Lenny Kravitz used to sing that song, Get a Let Love Rule. Isn't that a great song? I love that song. Today, we're talking about letting peace rule in our lives. Letting peace rule. Sometimes when I hire staff members, you know, I get resumes and I look at them and I'm like, okay, this guy looks good. This guy looks good. That person looks okay. You know, you interview people, and you're like, what do I do? Because I got two or three candidates. They're all qualified. How do I know which one's the right one to pick? I let the peace of Christ direct me, you know? And I've hired some people that were maybe just a little bit less qualified in some ways because I had a peace about it. And I have not hired people who were more qualified because I just couldn't get a peace in my spirit about it. Now, this is very subjective. I get that. When you make peace with God, that's objective. But what I'm talking about right now is a little more subjective, and I know it's a little touchy-feely, but listen, church, if you've ever been there before, if you've ever felt it in your spirit, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So let's let the peace of Christ rule in our lives when we make these decisions. How do we do that? Number one, we got to trust God. Man, the peace of Christ will never rule in your heart if you're a God skeptic, if you're a God cynic, you know? You don't trust God. Man, are you trusting God in your life? Do you have stress and anxiety and worry and uneasiness in your own heart because you just don't trust God at the end of the day? You trust yourself more than you trust Him. Man, we need to flip that over, don't we? Don't worry about anything, Philippians 4 says, but pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. The peace of God is hard to put into words, church. The peace of God is hard to articulate. The peace of God is hard to explain it, X, Y, Z. But when you felt it, you know that you've been there. It's a peace that passes all understanding. I love this scripture because notice what he says. He says, if you want to have peace, pray about it. And he says, when you pray about it, then tell God what you need and then thank Him for all that He's done. You know, a lot of times we do the opposite of that. We tell God what we need and then we thank Him if He does what we thought He ought to do sometime later. And you notice here, the scripture says, tell God what you need and then thank Him for all that He's already done. Amen. Because that's trusting God. That's believing God. God, I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you worship. God, I don't know how you're going to handle this. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know where you're going to lead me. I don't know, God, how you're going to respond exactly. But I'm going to thank you because I know that everything that you do is right and good. Church, let's tell God what we need and let's thank Him knowing that God's going to respond. Let's put our mind on that. A peace that passes all understanding. Trust God. And then the Bible says, man, you want to be a person that lets peace rule? Work on your relationships. Work on your relationships. You notice in the middle part of Colossians 3:15, it says, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And the body in the Bible is the church. Do you know that? The greatest place we ought to have peace in the family of God. The church should be a place of peace. Amen? We want this house to be a place of peace. One of our values here at Edge Church is loyalty. And somebody asked me one time, Ryan, why is loyalty a value of the church? Because we want to have peace in the house. Unfortunately, a lot of churches are not places of peace. But if we're going to have peace, we've got to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We've got to understand we're one body. The church is one body. How weird would it be if the hand said to the eyeball, eyeball, I'm so sick of you. And the hand poked the eyeball out. You would say, that's messed up. How is the body better without an eyeball? The body is worse. We're making things worse. What if the foot said, you know what? I'm tired of doing all the walking around here. It's time somebody else start walking. Some of those other organs need to grow legs and walk. Be kind of weird. There's one body and we were called to peace, and that means the body's got to work together. It doesn't make any sense for one part of the body to attack the other part of the body. Is that going to make something better? No, we need peace. I love Hebrews 12:14. It says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. He says, work at living in peace. In other words, if you're going to have a peace-filled life, you got to work at it. Most people don't wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to work on my peace. You know, it sounds kind of contradictory, doesn't it? Like, I'm going to work on my peace. But you know what? When you work on your relationships and you try to walk in harmony with as many people as you can, I realize it's impossible to get along with everybody all the time. I get that. But notice what the Bible says. It says that work at living in peace with everyone. You ought to try. You ought to do the best that you can. You know? And listen, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and the peace of Christ is in your heart, you'll get along with some people that are ornery and difficult. You will, because there's something that's in you. You'll be the person in the office that can get along with more people than anybody else because the peace of Christ is in your life. See? So we ought to work on those relationships. Gina and I have been to Christian counseling before to try to work through some stuff with my family. With family stuff. To find peace. We had to work on it. It was hard. Relationships are hard. Getting along with people, difficult. But listen, we ought to work on it. And we ought to try and get along with as many people as we can. And we ought to be gracious and kind to the people that we don't even like. Because that's the peace of Christ. That's the peace of Christ. Peace of Christ within us. Several months ago, we were over at the Southlands. I took Gina to dinner. I think our whole family was there. My kids were there. And we were at a new restaurant. And the food was really slow coming out. And it wasn't just our order. Like, it was everybody around us. It was like their first weekend open. And the wait staff and the kitchen, they weren't all jiving. I don't know how all that works, but I just know I was hungry. And so I inquired. I was like, hey, man, did you forget about us? And they're like, oh, no, we're going to bring it. And we kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And there were people that were getting so angry. It was almost comical. People were like, you know, not screaming, but they were speaking harshly to the wait staff. And they were getting on the manager. And people were leaving the restaurant. And, I mean, you want to see people get angry, mess with their food. People get upset when they're hungry. And, you know, we were just kind of sitting there, and I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not the most patient person in the world. But in this instance, we just kind of sat there, we just kind of waited, and, you know, and I think it was like an hour and a half later, finally our food came. Your food starts to taste really good, by the way, when you wait that long. You're like, this is the best meal I've ever had before. And so at the end, the manager came over, and he said, man, I just want to thank you guys for being so patient, and you know, some other people were leaving and all that. He said, I'm going to comp your meal today. I'm going to give you some things. I want you to come back. And, you know, I'm going to do some, you know, do you guys need dessert? And he was really, like, really gracious and really kind. And, you know, we left that day and we left the restaurant. And I thought afterwards, I thought, you know, you can't extend peace to other people if you don't have peace in your own heart. You know, some people have like a contentiousness about them. Drama kings, drama queens, there's always a fight, there's always an argument, there's always somebody that's upset, and they got conflicts in the home, and they got conflicts at the office, and they got conflicts at church, and they got conflicts in the neighborhood, because that's just the way people live sometimes. And the Bible is challenging us today to rise above that and to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let the peace of Christ have authority over us. God, I want peace in my life. Life is not about arguments and debates and you know, it's not about being right all the time. Let's just be people of peace. Now, being people of peace doesn't mean people walk on us. I'm not talking about that. In fact, sometimes when you're a person of peace, you will say things that are tougher than other people who are not people of peace would say. And I know some of you have had some of those conversations before. I've had those conversations where I'm like, I love you too much to let you keep doing this, buddy. We got to talk. We got to talk. So peace doesn't mean people step on us and kick us in the gut and what. I'm not talking about that. When we do those talks, we don't do so with a contentious spirit. We do that with a spirit of humility and a spirit to help other people. Amen? Is that right? Is that what we do? Yeah. Let the peace of Christ rule in the home, in the marriage. Let the peace of Christ rule. Husbands and wives, let the peace of Christ rule. Kids, let the peace of Christ rule. Managers, let the peace of Christ rule. Let's let peace rule. Let's be people of peace. And the Bible says also we should stay focused. Look at Isaiah the prophet here in chapter 26. He said this, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is an eternal rock." I love this scripture because it says here, he will keep you in perfect peace. And in the Hebrew language, it's actually the same word, shalom, shalom. It's repeated. It's intensified. He says, he will keep you in shalom, shalom, perfect peace. Not just sort of peace, but mega peace. If you want to have a lot of peace in your life, do this. Trust in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. To fix something means to attach it permanently, doesn't it? When you hammer something to the wall or you bolt something down, you permanently attach it. The Bible's saying when we permanently attach our thoughts on God, he will bring perfect peace into our lives. Man, are your thoughts fixed on God? Or are your thoughts the thoughts that keep coming off the wall? Let's fix those thoughts on the things of God. You know what the byproduct is? The byproduct is peace. See, a lot of people today are seeking peace, 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 peace. The Bible says this, put your thoughts on God, and as a byproduct, you'll have peace. Fix your thoughts on him, and you'll be a person of peace. All whose thoughts are fixed on you, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is an eternal rock. So let's don't get distracted. Let's get our mindset focused on God. It's a mindset. It's a different way of thinking. When he says, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, some of us, we got to change our mindset. We got to change the way we're thinking. Did you know that the way that you're thinking may be the thing that is destroying the peace in your heart? Change that mind. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, man. Put it under God's authority. God's the umpire. God's the referee. God, what do you think about this? God, how can I think more like you, Lord? Change my mind. We really have to break up with bad thoughts. And it's a bad breakup sometimes because we've been in a habit. You know, I think breaking up with bad thoughts is like breaking up with a bad girlfriend. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody ever broken up with a bad boyfriend or girlfriend before? Yeah. It's nasty, isn't it? Because when you break up with those bad thoughts sometimes will stalk you down. Coming after you, man. Like, I'm trying to get away from you, and bad thoughts are coming after you. You've thought this way all your life. I'm coming for you. Bad thoughts will stalk you down. Sometimes there's something about them that's appealing and yet destructive. Have you ever dated somebody like that? You're like, I want to break up with them, and I know they're not good for me, but for some reason, I keep going back. Bad thoughts are the same way. We want to have the peace of Christ in our life, and yet we also have an appetite for unpeace, for unrest. We've got to break up with those bad thoughts. What about this? You think things are going to get better with time. Anybody ever told themselves that? You know? You're dating somebody, you're like, oh, things will get better with time. You know? They are getting better! Bad thoughts are not getting better. They're not. End it today. I'm not going back. I want the peace of Christ to rule. You think you should give them another chance? You know? Just one more chance. Don't get back together with bad thoughts. Don't do it. How about this? Everyone else sees it's a bad relationship except you. Have you ever broken up with somebody and your friends came to you and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that you ended it with them. Didn't you see? And you're like, no, I didn't see it. Sometimes when we just are in bad patterns of thinking, we've been thinking poorly for so long, we don't see it. We don't see it. Other people see it in us. They're like, she's killing herself. Let's break up with bad thoughts. Let's break up with bad thoughts. You didn't realize how much she was bringing you down until she was gone. Some of you don't even know how good life could be if you would put your mind on the things of God. So much better than you even thought. And you wake up in the morning with a renewed spirit and a renewed heart. And then finally, in verse 15, the Bible says we ought to practice thanksgiving. Look at the last part there of Colossians 3:15. You are one body, were called to peace, and be thankful. Amen. Did you know that gratitude is one of the signs? It's one of the signs of a heart and a mind that is under the peace of God. Because when you have peace in your heart, you're grateful. You're grateful for what God has done for you, and you're grateful for what other people have done for you. People who are never grateful are people that don't have peace. So today, are you grateful? Are you grateful? Have you made that peace with God? And has the peace of God, is the peace of God ruling in your heart? Let's pray together for just a moment. Let's bow our hearts and our heads.